Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 22 called Love is the Greatest.
Have you ever noticed when people are trying to make somebody look bad on social media, they get a picture with the worst face that they ever had, you know, or they're on the beach and not such a great looking bathing suit. They put on some of that holiday weight. People say holiday weight doesn't count until you put your bathing suit on in January. Maybe it does. Anyway, and the Pharisees were thrilled that Jesus had silenced what was an opponent of theirs, which was the Sadducees. And he had done it with teaching on the resurrection. And you remember they came with that story about that lady. She's been married 7 times. And in the resurrection, whose wife is she? Dun, 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 dun. And he said, you don't understand the scriptures. You're mistaken. You don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. And we got that great answer, right, about the life to come and how we'll be married to the Lord and all of that. Well, the Pharisees were happy. And so they came up next and they knew what Jesus had done to the Sadducees. And one of them, one of the Pharisees, a lawyer. Now, this wouldn't be the lawyer like you see on the billboards, 1-800, you know, that. This was an expert in the Mosaic law. He was an expert in the Old Testament, the Torah, if you will. And he asked Jesus a question, and you could see what he was doing. He was testing him. They say that the rabbis like to sit around all day long, and they would argue what scripture captures the essence of the law. What's the most important? They would talk about things that were weighty and things that were lighter in the Bible. And they would try to capture it in single verses like Micah 6:8 or Psalm 15. And they would say there's 15 principles or 11 principles or whatever. And all day long, they would go back and forth with these kinds of questions. And so they wanted to hear from Jesus. What does he say? Inquiring minds want to know. That's a very old commercial. Never mind. Mark's parallel account calls the man a scribe. Just an FYI, scribes were those who copied the Bible. There were no Xerox copiers back in the day. So what they would do is they would hand copy portions of the Torah. And they were very meticulous. In fact, they had to count the words backwards and forwards. And if they made a mistake, even at the last minute, they had to burn the scroll and start all over. Can you imagine? You didn't drink all the coffee you should have, and you go, oh, no! Can't just draw a line through it, and oops, you know, a side note. You had to start all over. So they were very meticulous. They were exponents and explainers of the law. From what I understand, they started training at 14 and became official when they were 40. That's a lot of training. And so they were you know, wrestling with this stuff every single day. And they fire the question Jesus' way, who is the living word, right? So if anybody knows what it's about, it's Jesus. Teacher, which is the great, the mega NIV, the greatest commandment in the law? What's most important? 1 John 3:11 reads this way. This is the message which we've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. There was a little suspicion about Jesus because some people thought he had come to abolish the law, but he had not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Do you know, this is something to think about, that every sin that we commit is a failure to love God as we ought, or to love our neighbor as ourselves. Every sin that we commit is a lack of love. Isn't that interesting? Think about the Ten Commandments. The first four are about loving God supremely, not having idols, not taking his name in vain, keeping holy the Sabbath day. And then what we call the second table of the law, what's that aimed at? Our neighbor. We're not to murder. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to steal. We're not to covet, etc. Lie. Can you see it? All the shall nots of the two tables of the law, if you will. Some believe the law was repeated on front and back, all 10. But this is a good way to remember it. All the shall nots are now captured in two you shalls, positive. The negatives become two positives. What are they? Simply this: love God with everything you are and love your neighbor as yourself. Let me ask you, how'd you do this week with that? Do you feel like you're hitting the mark? Now, we're all a work in progress, right? But if I were to measure my week by that, those two positive commands, this is what you should do. Because we all have heard about what we shouldn't do, but what should we be doing? Well, here it is. And it's weighty, isn't it? We all feel it. Because I'm not sure that I spend a lot of my time thinking about my neighbor, and I'm not sure that I have loved you the way Jesus has loved me. How about you? If that is the measure, if that's the new commandment, if that is what demonstrates Christ's love to a watching world, then that should be our endeavor. But the truth of the matter is, it's hard. It challenges us to the core. And Jesus came to fulfill the law where we have failed. When Jesus lived his perfect life and died on the cross, this is the way you need to see it. Jesus is fulfilling love for God and love for neighbor where we have failed to fulfill it. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus modeled that perfect love for the Father and for people. And the only way that we can live this way now is to be empowered by his Spirit, which is possible. In the Mark 12:29, this is the parallel account, and I think we'll have it up on the screen for you. Jesus answered this scribe and said, "The foremost is hear, O Israel." This is called the Hebrew Shema. It's the word hear is Shema. It's the first word in the Hebrew. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And then it goes on to say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you go back and check Deuteronomy 6:5, you will see that Lord is capitalized there in the Old Testament. And that's the name Yahweh. You shall love Yahweh with everything you are. This is not, oh, I'm spiritual, or I think there's a supreme being and I'm trying to learn how to connect with him or whatever. No. This is love of the one true God, Yahweh, who is one, but also three, which gets revealed in the New Testament, right? And within the Trinity is a love relationship. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. The Spirit comes to honor Christ. You can't have one without the other. Amen? So Jesus, as he is teaching now, says what you repeat, the Hebrew Shema, which had some other scriptures attached to it, which they would put in phylacteries and in their muzas when they would hang it on the door, little scripture boxes. They tried to take this very literally. Let's wear the scriptures. Let's put them in a box before you enter my home. We have scripture verses all over our home, but they become meaningless unless love is in that home. Amen? Unless God's love is in that home. That's how people will know. They can see the verses on the walls, and I think those are wonderful reminders, yet they've got to come out in the way that I live. And so, is here, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one Lord, and you shall love Yahweh with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. In Matthew 22:37, that's what Jesus says to him. And what struck me here as I was reading this again was the word you. Jesus said to him, you. I want you to think of this really personally, like take yourself out of the stands for a second and put yourself in the sandals of the scribe. Jesus, the living word, love incarnate, says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. Oh, now it's about me. You know, we often sit and we hear God's word and we think of other people. You know, I really wish old so-and-so was here today to hear this message because they really need it. Oh, yeah? Or we have our spouse next to us or someone we've come to, you know, church with, and we figure that's for them, and we give them the old elbow to the rib shot. Did you hear that? I really hope you're listening today.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Join us for an evening of family fun at the 13th annual Shine with His Light Harvest Fest event on October 31st from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Living Truth Christian Fellowship. There will be trunks of treats, inflatables, game booths, a bake walk, and food vendors. You can find more information at livingtruthcorona.org.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
We have our spouse next to us or someone we've come to, you know, church with, and we figure that's for them, and we give them the old elbow to the rib shot. Did you hear that? I really hope you're listening today. There'll be a test later. Well, it's really for us. And you can see the emphasis on all here. It's all your heart. Cardia is the Greek word. It's the core of who you are. All your soul, psuche in Greek. Some believe it could speak of your emotions. Again, the center of you, the core of you. All your mind is dianoia in Greek. That's your intellectual capacities. How many of you have ever been challenged to go deeper in your Bible, learn the original languages, learn church history, so that you can love God with all of your intellect? So you might be a good apologist or a good scholar who takes a stand in our generation. Amen? We need that. And all your strength is pretty obvious, right? I want to give God my best. I want to bring my best to the table. You ever seen someone who does their job half-heartedly? Maybe they're a coworker. Maybe they're a, if you grew up playing sports as I did, I played a lot of baseball. I remember I was on a high school baseball team and we had this guy on our team who was a tremendous hitter, but he did not like to play defense. And when we were having hitting practice, unless the ball went right to him, he would not even bother. So you'd hear clink and he'd go like this. Clink! And when we see something like that, what do we call that? A half-hearted commitment. He's not giving his best at the job. He's not giving his best on the field. Half-hearted. And that's the opposite of what this calls for. This calls for all. Everything. God doesn't want just my leftovers. Whatever I have left to give him, no, he wants all of you. All of you. And that's what's difficult, I think, for all of us. Jesus said in John 8:42, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. I've not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. In Mark's version, he says, you shall love, that's the word agapeo. We've all heard of the Greek word agape. Ahav and agape kind of parallel each other in the Old and New Testament. You shall love the Lord your God, Mark 12:30, with all, not some, of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. A little different variation from Mark to Matthew. So this is the call. What does it look like? How would I know if someone truly loved God? John says, if you say you love God, whom you haven't seen, but you don't love your brother whom you have seen, you don't have the love of God in you. The love of God is certainly realized at street level in the way I treat others. John 14, 21 through 23, if you're taking notes. He who has my commandments, Jesus says, and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said, John 14, 23, mark it. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode in him. I've heard stories of people who are in Muslim countries and different parts of the world who had an encounter with the living God simply because they were searching for truth. I just heard a testimony from a rabbi, a messianic rabbi, who said that he was gravitating towards the New Age, and he was about to read a book that a friend recommended about this yogi and all these so-called miraculous things that he could do. And God appeared to him in a dream when he was, I think, 18 years old and showed him the cross. He said he had no experience with Jesus. Jesus wasn't even mentioned in his household. And this is what God does. He'll reveal himself. Loving God is the supreme thing. Just let me give you a few examples of this. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, just as it is written, things which eye has not seen or ear has not heard, which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. James 1:12 says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. James 2:5 says, listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? 1 Peter 1:8 and 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Brethren, God wants you to love him. And we love him because he first loved us. And what you will find in that vertical love relationship is the beautiful answer to life. Are you wondering what life is all about? Life is about loving God who made you. I've often said to people, doesn't it make sense if God made you that you wouldn't find fulfillment until you were in a right relationship, a love relationship with him? Amen? God puts us through tests, through trials. For what reason? That we might show our love for him. Love is loyalty. Love is sacrifice. It is not a profession with my lips. It is all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, everything that I've got, all my mind. And that's why it is so challenging. And so that's commandment number one. And all God's people said, there's more? Oh yeah, there's a second part. Some have said that the trunk is love, and there's two branches, love for God and love for neighbor, paralleling each other. Some have said love for neighbor is a little lower than love for God. But they go together, and that's what Jesus says. He says, this is the great and foremost commandment, 39. The second is like it, connected to it. You shall love your neighbor. Now, this is Leviticus 19:18. So Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:4 and 5 for love of God, Leviticus 19:18 for love of neighbor. He says, that's the second, and it's like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
You've been listening to Love is the Greatest, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lance. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast,
please click the share button on your phone to spread the word.
Now here's Pastor Michael with the final word.
Well, if you've been around the Bible for any length of time, you're probably familiar with this passage, right? To love God, to love others, and even the additional New Testament reality, love one another as I have loved you. But you might be thinking, okay, you know, if you're in the church or you know the Bible, you know what that means, right? At least you're striving for that and you understand that. But what does that mean to society? Society talks about love. And I would say to you that even though society has different definitions of love, I think everybody knows that love is about self-sacrifice. But where it gets confusing, and I think we'd all probably admit this, that love can be a very emotional thing, and sometimes it can be hard to define, or maybe you even find yourself in debates over how do you define what love actually is. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. The answer is there. Here's what it is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for one another. The Bible says in 1 John that God is love. So when you watch Jesus in action in the Gospels, you can see what love looks like, what love does. And yes, he reached out. And yes, he crossed a lot of cultural boundaries. And yes, he touched and loved the unlovable. Yet at the same time, he never excused away sin. He said, go and sin no more. Yes, I've done this for you, but go and sin no more. And so part of love is truth. You can't separate love and truth because they're not separated in God and they can't be separated in us. They weren't separated in Jesus. They intersected. They went together. They're not mutually exclusive. Love will speak the truth. Because love, here's a critical insight, wants the best for a person. And love will risk sometimes even maybe being misunderstood or maybe even being taken as offensive if the goal is the best for that person. And so that is the additional nuance that I think as Christians we need to understand. Love is not just about emotion, although I love the emotional part of love, and I think we all would admit that we do. But love is a decision. Love is an act of the will. For those of you who are married, perhaps you've been married a long time, you know that sometimes your decision to love is because you're being true to the covenant, even if you're not having the best day in your marriage, even if you just had a disagreement or what one of the pastors that I know has said in the past, you're having some intense fellowship. And so this is what we need to remember. God is love, and when we're full of him, when we're full of the Spirit, we're going to love the way he's called us to love. We're not going to have to try to parse it all carefully. We'll know what love is. We already know what it is, and I think we'll know how to live it out in wisdom and in truth. This is Pastor Michael Lance. You're listening to Walk in Truth, and we're walking through the incredible Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus was asked a question about what's the greatest commandment. And we've pointed out in this message that love is a command. It's not just a suggestion, and it is not just a feeling. Well, on October 31st, I would like to invite you to our Harvest Fest at Living Truth Christian Fellowship, where I serve as senior pastor along with five other incredible pastors and an incredible church body. And we're putting on a Harvest Fest Halloween alternative. It's happening in the city of Corona, right at Living Truth Christian Fellowship, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. The admission is free. There's going to be games, music, food, trunks of treats, just a lot of opportunities to hang out, have fun. And of course, our goal is always to proclaim the light of Jesus on what can be a dark night for many. We want to tell people about Jesus being the light of the world. That's Harvest Fest happening at Living Truth Christian Fellowship, the 31st of October, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. I hope you'll come out if you live anywhere near us. You'll bring your family. I'd love to meet you. I'll be out there that night, Lord willing. And we'll see you right here. God bless you.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 22 called Love is the Greatest.
This is love of the one true God, Yahweh, who is one, but also three, which gets revealed in the New Testament, right? And within the Trinity is a love relationship. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. The Spirit comes to honor Christ. You can't have one without the other. Amen?
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.